Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
517. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Gwynn and Chris.
You hurt yourself over there?
I smashed my finger in this thing right here. It made me mess my words up right there.
I'm trying to get the mic turned on. It could be a dangerous endeavor.
517. We haven't... We've been hitting a lot on baseball in the last few weeks. But we haven't really talked a lot about that team up north about 100 miles away in Los Angeles.
That's a shame.
Yeah, we really don't try to talk about them much, but one of my good buddies and one of my favorite teammates is an analyst there. So let's talk to my good buddy Jerry Harrison Jr. He joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Jerry, how are you, brother?
First of all, TG, I know you ain't hating on us up north here because you were my teammate in L.A. Okay, you bled Dodger blue at one point. I know your uncle, Chris, he bled Dodger blue.
He did.
Too, so I'm not hating.
I'm just saying we hadn't talked to you in a while. That's all
it's,
I said.
It's all, but the, his point, Jerry, is the fact that he gets calls here down here on the show from people once in a while who apologize to him for all the heckling they gave him when he was a Dodger. So
true
that's,
well,
that's you know why he's trying to distance a little.
I hear you. And Tony was a really good player for the Padres back then, and he helped lead a 91 team in San Diego. And then his pops was a decent player there in San Diego.
He was okay.
That sounds like the Jerry I know right there. Jerry, tell us a little bit about what's going on. We're getting close into spring. Obviously, you guys got two major, I don't want to say major, but two concerning injuries with Clayton Kershaw and Buehler. What has been going, how is this organization dealing with that?
Well, right now they're dealing with Clayton Kershaw, attack him first, kind of with kid gloves. You got to make sure Clayton Kershaw is 100%. Tony, as you know, the last 3-4 years, he's dealt with a variety of injuries, whether it was his back, his hip, his shoulder, his arm. He's had a different type of injury, you know, the last 3 or 4 years. So, you know, it could be a product of a lot of innings. You know, Nobody's thrown more innings than Clayton Kershaw the last 6 or 7 years. It could be taking its toll. So, you know, they're making sure that he had a little bit of a dead arm, a little shoulder inflammation at the start of spring training, so they shut him down. Now they're starting to build him back up. And, you know, Tony, as well as I do, you know, Clayton, once he gets the ball in his hand, he's full go. So you have to make sure you protect him from himself. And I think that's what the Dodgers are doing. Whether he starts the season on the DL, if he starts, you know, the throwing program that they want him to kind of slowly build him along, whether he comes back mid-April, late April, or early May, it really doesn't matter. You know, the Dodgers have a deep pitching rotation. You just got to make sure when you get Clayton back, he's 100%.
Yeah.
And with Walker Buehler, you know, I think with him is he's not injured. They just want to back him off as far as his workload because they know he's going to be throwing a lot of innings. He threw a lot of innings last year. He threw a lot of stressful innings, especially down the stretch for the first time in his career, pitching in the World Series, pitching in the playoffs. So they kind of wanted to ease him in, so to speak, and make sure he doesn't throw a whole lot of innings in spring training. So once he gets the regular season, which I'm hearing, you know, he'll be a starter in the first series. I don't know if he's going to pitch game 1, 2, or 3. But he's supposed to pitch, scheduled to pitch anyway. If not, he'll pitch the next series. So it's more with Walker Buehler making sure that innings are down in spring training.
Jerry Harrison Jr. joining us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, talking a little Los Angeles Dodgers. The thing I find a little interesting, Jerry, coming into this season, is that the Dodgers aren't really the big story in the National League West. I mean, the Padres actually stole a lot of their thunder by signing Machado, and a lot of people are looking at the Padres. They're not picking the Padres to beat out the Dodgers, but it seems like the Dodgers are coming into this season a little bit more under the radar than they have recently, or am I just missing it?
No, you hit the nail on the head right there. You know, the Padres did an excellent job. And, Tony, we talked about this. We talk a lot.
Yeah.
About how the Padres have been slow playing, you know, their guys, their young guys, and really that's what they needed to be doing the last 2 or 3 years. And when they see or they feel that their young guys are close, they'll go get out and they go get Eric Hosmer, a guy who knows how to win, and then they go get a superstar like a Manny Machado. So I think the Padres are going about it the right way. So to get a guy like a Manny Machado, to team him up with Fernando Tatis Jr., who I hear he's a stud, that's a pretty good left side of the infield. So, you know, I like what the Padres are doing, especially now. Are they going to compete for a wild card or division? That's yet to be seen. But you got to remember, nobody picked the Atlanta Braves.
That's true. That's very true.
To get to the postseason last year, everybody thought they were 2 years away, but they came out of nowhere. So you can't take the Padres lightly anymore. I don't think the Dodgers will. I think the Rockies, in my opinion, scare me to death.
Yeah.
If they had any bullpen last year, they would have won the division. You know, I think they've tried to rectify things with their bullpen, and Bud Black is as good a manager as anybody. He'll fix some things. So right now, it's a neck-and-neck race between the Dodgers and the Rockies. The Padres are up and coming, and then the D-backs and the Giants, who, even though they're a little older, I think they're going to be bringing up the rear.
Yeah, Jerry, I'm on the same page with you. I think this Rockies team has a chance to win this division. The Dodgers made some moves during the offseason. They moved Puig, they moved Matt Kemp. You go out and sign A.J. Pollock. So they have a guy that can play center field, if healthy, every day. How does the rest of the outfield shake out? I mean, is Kike going to make appearances in the outfield still? I know you got Verdugo. Obviously, Jock is still there. How does the outfield play out?
Well, for a big market team, they are really taking a big risk on relying on their young guys. You know, they're looking to see if Verdugo, can he be that everyday right fielder? Can Cody Bellinger possibly be that everyday player? You got to remember, last year, he was more of a platoon player.
Yeah.
You know, he hit it only against right-handed pitching and sat against left-handed pitching. Jock Peterson, the same thing. You know, Dave Roberts told everybody to start a camp, listen, we want a lineup where they can go out there and play every day. It's up to you to dictate if you keep it. You can be that everyday player. So far, I believe Verdugo's had a pretty good spring training. Kike Hernandez has had an outstanding spring training. He doesn't want to see the outfield.
He's going to be if they leave him at second base. He's going to win a Gold Glove this year. I believe that.
And that's what I've said. You know, he's got the talent to win that Gold Glove at second base, and I think that's what he wants. He wants to stay at one position. He has the ability to do that. And I think if he becomes that everyday second baseman now, that allows CT3, Chris Taylor, to be that utility guy where he can kind of roam. So the Dodgers are trusting. They're giving the keys to a lot of these young guys, and they got to produce. And that's rare for a big market team. You know, we lost Manny Machado, Yasiel Puig, Yasmani Grandal, and Matt Kemp. Four guys that combined for over, 130-some home runs, something crazy like that. Wow. So that's a lot of production that's been lost. So these young guys, if the Dodgers want to get back to where they were last year, they have to produce.
You know, you talked about the platooning situation, and Tony and I were talking about it a lot at the end of last season, that it was almost impossible for Dave Roberts to keep everybody happy because he was trying to mix all of these guys in and out of the lineup and sitting certain guys against righties and other guys against lefties. Do you think perhaps this season might be a little easier ride for Dave Roberts since they have trimmed the roster to a certain extent?
I think it can be. You know, first of all, it doesn't matter who you are, what team you have, it's never easy.
Yeah.
It's never going to be at the big leagues. But, you know, Yasiel Puig wanted to play every day. Matt Kemp wanted to play every day. And those are the two guys that were the outfielders. And you had guys like, you know, CT3, Kike Hernandez, Verdugo coming up trying to take at bats. Now, the onus is on the young guys. So he told them right away in spring training, if you want to be that everyday player, prove it. I'm not just going to give you that job. You got to go and prove it. And we want to make sure that we give you every opportunity to do so. And they have in spring training. I think Kike Hernandez has won that job. He's going to be in the lineup every day to start the season. And then, you know, just like any other manager, they're going to play, unless you're a superstar, unless you're Justin Turner or Corey Seager, other guys have to vie for playing time. And that's the way it's always been.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's fair. I think that's the way it should be handled. I think as long as guys know that going into spring, as you said, Dave has kind of set the ground rules. It's up to them to kind of step up. To one last question before we let you get out here. We talked about Clayton kind of probably not going to be ready for opening day. How does the rotation shake out? I saw Ross Stripling the other night. He looked great with that curveball. How does this five-man rotation shape out?
Well, as of right now, they have not named an opening day starter. I think it's between either Rich Hill or Ryu. I think they will get the nod on opening day. Then possibly two would be Walker Buehler. I think he will be ready to go. You mentioned Ross Stripling. He's a guy, if Clayton Kershaw, which Clayton Kershaw will not be part of the rotation to start the season, I think he's the next man up. He was an all-star last year. You know, he's kind of the super utility of the pitchers. You know, he could be your long man or he could be a starter. He's been outstanding this spring training. But here, there's a guy you guys need to – I know you heard about him.
Is this the May kid?
Urias,
that's right.
Let me tell you something. Julio Urias, this young man has topped out at 96-97 so far this spring, has three pitches. He's vying for a spot. Now, a lot like Walker Buehler last year, they want to keep his innings down. But if innings weren't an issue, I think he would be the starter right now. But he's been that electric. So I really expect Urias to find a way, find his way into the rotation come June or July. He is just too talented. He's that good. So he has a chance.
It never fails that the Dodgers just seem to find pitching. It just grows on trees. There was a kid the other day against the Padres, this May kid that threw with the long locks. He was running it up to like 99 and with a dirty breaking ball to go with it.
He's another guy that's vying. Now, he may start in AAA, but he's trying to make the club, and you can't deny that type of talent.
No.
I mean, I believe he was the minor league pitcher of the year. This guy is dirty. So he's another guy that have a chance. But that's what you do. When you're an organization, you invest in young arms. And whether you invest in 10, 15, or 20, you got to figure when you have the right type of coaching in your system, two or three or four of them are bound to shake out.
Yeah.
And that's what you've had with the Dodgers the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, as usual, Jerry, fantastic breakdown of this ball club. And listen, you know, anytime we can get you on, man, we're going to have you on again. Thanks.
Well, he's got me riled up. I'm ready to root against the Dodgers again. Thanks, Jerry.
Hey, Tony, I'm going to be heading to San Diego at one point in the next couple months. We got to get on that golf course, brother.
All right, man. You're going to drag me out there so you can make me look bad. I know you're going to have it on Instagram and everything, too, huh?
I don't want to make you look bad. I just want to take your money. That's it.
Deal. All right, Jerry. Thanks for joining us, brother. Have a good day.
Thanks, Jerry.
Anytime, guys.
That was Jerry Harrison Jr. on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. You can save with a high-yield certificate account from SDCCU. For details, visit sdccu.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.